morning. I'll read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and obeying of his word.
Right, this morning we are very happy to have our speaker, Brother Edmund, to speak to us. And he has entitled the message, Our Enemy Prowls Like a Roaring Lion. Please give ears to Brother Edmund. Edmund, please.
Mic check, can you hear me there? Mic check, can you hear me there? People at the back, can you hear me? Okay, that's fine. I've selected this passage of scripture. And let me give you the background behind why I selected this passage of scripture. Number one, this passage of scripture is very familiar. We have all read this passage of scripture many times. It's not so mystifying. Number two, this passage of scripture is inspired by my own life. There was a period in my life where I really had a rough time. And I drew strength from this passage of scripture. And number three, this passage of scripture is really relevant for us today. And let us let me explain. Okay, point number one. Peter, in this book, paints a picture of Christians. And at this point in time, the Christians were really suffering. They were persecuted by basically their peers. It was a localized persecution. And in this place Peter wrote to was a region in which is modern-day Turkey. And the Christians at this point in time were really suffering under persecution, and Peter wanted to encourage them. And point two, Peter wanted to tell them that the root cause of their persecution is actually the devil himself. So that's the idea that Peter wanted to bring across in this text. Now, down here I write, Peter writes to encourage his hearers to remain firm in the face of fierce persecution. And the reason why I write that is this exhortation comes right at the end. And if you read the first four chapters, you will find that Peter encourages them in their trials, in their persecution. But Peter wants to end on a high note. And this is where we want to study. And Peter uses a picture to bring his hearers to this high end so that they can focus and they can be clear on this high end. And this high end is eventually, Peter wants to focus his hearers on the future, not on the present suffering, but on the glorious future. Okay, I've said a lot of things which are in the abstract. Let us engage the text. How do I do this? Okay. So, verse 8, simple. Christians are to be alert and sober. Why? Because the enemy is like a roaring lion. Verse 9, Christians are to resist and stand firm against the enemy. And then verses 10 and 11, Christians are exhorted to keep their eye on the glorious future. Why? Because Jesus himself will strengthen us and support us in our time of persecution. So those are the few key points. Oh, sorry. Let us look at the historical context for a while, and I just wanted to draw your attention. Can we turn to chapter 4, verses 12 to 19, please? I'll give you a couple of minutes to just do that. Chapter 4, verses 12 to 19, and I'll give you the actual persecution that they were undergoing. Verse 12, Peter says, "My friends," or "dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though it is something strange happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." That means this suffering that comes upon you, don't be taken off guard. It's to be expected. And you rejoice in this suffering, in this persecution, as you would do in the future when the glory is revealed. And verses 14 and to 16 are the actual persecution they suffered. Verse 14, if you are insulted, that means the neighboring neighbors hurl insults at them. Why? Because of the name of Christ. That means they had turned over a new leaf. Number two, verse 15, if you should suffer, it should be not as a murderer or a thief. That means something that's dishonorable, but rather as, verse 16, you should suffer as a Christian. So what Peter was saying is, this trial that you're going through, number one, is not surprising. Number two, it is painful. Number three, for a while you will undergo this trial and persecution, but you keep your eye on the future. And if you should suffer, do not suffer as if you have something to be ashamed of. You have nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, you should suffer. You should be proud and praise God that you bear his name. So that was one of the persecutions that they faced. The second point I wrote here is these people that Peter had written to, they actually had a really bad past life. They had an ungodly past life, but they really turned a new leaf. All right? So we see that in chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, and I'll read it to you. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Verse 2, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil desires, but rather for the will of God. And verse 3 refers to their past life. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in this reckless wild living anymore. So Peter's hearers were once like that, were once really living wild life, but they actually changed and they now become godly. And then they cannot understand why. Why? So as a result, they were persecuted, as I mentioned just now in verses 12 to 19. All right? So, this was the historical background to their persecution. And now Peter wants to transport them to a high point. Peter wants to focus their attention on what really matters. Now, he starts in chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Now, be alert and sober mind has an overlap in the meaning. Be alert means be clear-headed. Be attentive to what is going on. That means what you see in the persecution, you must have a deeper insight as to what kind of persecution, why you have this kind of persecution. Sober mind means to stay vigilant. You need to be alert and you need to stay vigilant. Why? Because the lions, could come out from any of the 64 trapdoors that surprise you. Now, I place this thing in here to arrest your attention, because I will explain it later. So keep this in mind. The second part is your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And now here Peter takes a picture from the Roman execution. Now, there were several forms of Roman execution. The most infamous one is the crucifixion. We know about the crucifixion, the Roman crucifixion. Was a terrible form of execution. But this is another type of Roman execution. And this, what they did was the Romans threw the convicts to wild animals. All right? Convicts could be thieves, murderers, that kind of thing. But they could also include Christians. Why? Because Christians were considered enemies of the state. All right? So these were convicts. And one form of Roman execution was this. All right? Now, this is of all the wild beasts. I mentioned all. Let me just back off. I mentioned that the execution was of wild beasts, and of the various wild beasts, the lion was considered the most fearsome. So now Peter employs this picture. Now, point three, everybody in the Roman Empire knew about this form of execution, and I'll explain why. We all know the Colosseum, but the Colosseum is just one example of the many arenas that the Romans had throughout the empire. And I'll give you an example. Wherever the Romans went, wherever the Romans conquered, they built an arena. And the reason why they built an arena is because there was a Roman saying, the emperor had to do two things, the bread and the games. Right, let me explain what that meant. To secure his place as the emperor only needed to do two things, feed the people, the bread, feed the people, and the games, to entertain the people. And the main form of entertainment in the Roman times was this Roman arena. Okay, so the main elements of this Roman execution are, one, it occurs in a Roman arena. That's number one. Number two, there are usually convicts in this arena. Number three, there are several wild beasts that were released into the arena by trapdoors, and I'll explain that. And number four, to maximize the chances of survival, what the convicts will do is they will huddle together, and I'll explain why again. And then the wild beasts would devour or attack the convicts. Victims rarely survived. So now Peter employs this picture of a Roman execution, a cruel scene, to say to the hearers, I know it's like being eaten up by the lion. Okay, so keep this picture in mind. What I'll do is I'll explain this picture, and then I'll give an exposition of how chapter 5, verses 8 to 11 is supposed to work with an extended explanation. All right, this is a mosaic. This is a mosaic. I've just taken this from the internet. This mosaic shows the it shows the leopard here, a leopard, lion, wild animal attacking the convict. And why I selected this, was so common that it was a mosaic, and it was found actually in Tunisia, in modern-day Tunisia. So throughout the Roman Empire, they had these mosaics, you see. So this was a common picture in the minds of the Romans. Now, this is a standard picture. This is the Colosseum. Everybody knows this. And the Colosseum is divided basically into three parts. Number one, this is the underground area. It is exposed today. You actually can visit the underground area. Number two is the arena. Arena is this flat area. All right? And then number three, this part is where all the audience, all the spectators are set. And this Colosseum is estimated to be able to accommodate 50,000-60,000 people. And the Emperor's box, if I remember correctly, I think is this one here. It's either this one here or, yeah, I think it's this one here. I think this is the Emperor's box. So this is the VIP box, all right? So the Emperor has the first view, front row view of this. So this is the Colosseum. And then in the Colosseum, you will find that there are trap doors. This is one example of a trap door which they have restored. All right? And throughout, how do I do the back one? And throughout this area, in the Colosseum itself, there are 16 times 4 trap doors. There are 64 trap doors. All right? And they all go around here. Okay, I know it's a bit long, but I'll explain why. And this is just one trap door which they have restored, and this is one trap door from which the wild animal will come out from. And below this trap door, in the underground, what they had was a pulley system. The wild animal would be put in a cage, and these people will use the pulley system to bring the animal up. All right? Simple idea. Now, okay. I mentioned that there are 64 trap doors down here. So the way the Roman execution is done is very, very interesting. So what they do is they chuck all the convicts down here. You know, they just, you know, just chuck the convicts. You all stand anywhere you want. I mean, you just come up, pop, pop, pop. So the convicts will be scattered about. But what the convicts didn't know was where the lion going to come from. Because there are 64 trap doors, any trap door can come out, you know? So the point here is the trap door pop up, the lion is there. Pop up another trap door, pop, the leopard is there. So you do not know where. That was the beauty of this system. You do not know where. If you know there's only one trap door, then you stand the other side, well, easy. But there are 64 trap doors around the arena, you know, in the Colosseum itself. So any trap door could be open. So what would typically, this one here is an artist impression. So what would typically happen is this. The convicts will normally get huddled together. And then the trap door will open. And then there will be this lion here or leopard or whatever. Why is it that the convicts huddle together? Because the lion will pick the one who is the weakest, right? He'll pick off the one that's weakest. The one who is most vulnerable, the lion attack first, right? Correct, right? So what they do is in nature, what they do is they gather together so that you don't stand alone, right? Then the lion will prowl around. So around this, so when everybody huddle around, so what the lion does is he will walk around. He will walk around, he will survey who is the weakest one. Then you makan the weakest one, no? Correct? So what the lion is doing, the lion is also not stupid. He's not going to pick the one in the middle, right? The lion is not stupid. I think I picked this guy in the middle. Why is the lion not going to do that? The lion is going to pick the one who is down here or down there or whatever. The easiest meat, so to speak. Correct? So the lion would do that. So these people knew that if you were alone, you'll be the most vulnerable. So what they tended to do was they tended to huddle together. All right. Okay. Then it says in verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith. All right. And the word here, resist and stand firm, has the idea of we all got to huddle together. We all got to resist him. Why resist? This is quite passive. You see, the lion here is going around. Right now, he's looking around. But here, Peter says what? Resist. Resist him, stand firm. Notice that Peter is telling them, hey, this is a very passive strategy. And a thoughtful hearer here would say, hey, but preacher here last time, you mentioned in Ephesians, that the Christian is actually a very powerful one. And Paul writes this, and let's turn with me here. So this is a different strategy. You look at Paul. Paul's strategy in Ephesians chapter 6, please turn with me. Paul's strategy in Ephesians was a different strategy. Chapter 6, and we know this. This is the armor of God. You see, this armor of God, Paul now pictures the Christian as an elite Roman soldier. Here he says, stand firm with the belt of truth, verse 14, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shodded with readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, this one here is a very powerful, very active this thing here. Paul exhorts, hey, y'all are Roman soldiers, you know. Don't think y'all are wimps. Y'all are Roman soldiers. But you see, in Peter, a different picture arises. Peter says this, huddle together. Both can be true at the same time. Paul wanted to exhort the Ephesian Christians to put on the whole armor of God. Be like a Roman soldier. But here in Peter, he says this, you all have no equipment already. Well, you all got no weapon. You see, all the convict, all no... What, no weapon, ma? Got no defensive weapon, got no defensive shield, got no helmet, no nothing, no spear, no sword. So what is your best, second best? This thing here, huddle together. So this is what Peter pictures now. So he says this. Peter is saying this. If you guys don't huddle together, y'all don't stay close, the devil will pick off one by one. So I've given some names down here. I definitely picked those names that are not in this congregation. Right? There's a Talia. I hope there's no Talia here. Tommy, Jackson, and Jane. So what Peter is saying to Talia, Tommy, Jackson, and Jane is this. Y'all got to huddle together. Y'all don't huddle together. The lion will pick you off one by one. Then Tommy, Talia, Jackson, and James, who is the devil here? The devil is my CEO. My devil, is it my boss? My devil is this colleague from hell. I spoke to one member, there's this customer is a pain. No, the lion is not that. The lion is not your CEO. The devil is the lion. Your CEO is just a trap door. Your CO is just the trapdoor. Your unreasonable boss is just your trapdoor. Your colleague from hell is just the trapdoor. That means what? The lion comes through the trapdoor. The lion is the devil. The devil comes through this person, that's all. So you got to be sober, you got to be awake. Don't go and think that your CO, this guy is the problem. No, he's not the problem, it's the devil behind it. You got to be aware of that. You got to stay sober, you got to stay alert. So the lion is not your boss. The lion is not your colleague from hell. The lion is not this recalcitrant family member. These people, your bosses, they're just the trap doors. Why? Because one day it can be your CEO, pop, this trap door opens. The next day it can be your neighbor, pop, this trap door opens. The next day your boss, pop, this trap door opens. But the same wild animal will come out. The devil. So what Peter was saying is, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering, that means you look at the arena, everybody is the same. You see, Talia is from one part of Turkey, Tommy is also another part of Turkey, they're all the same. You're all in the same boat. This case, if we transport it 2,000 years today, You're the same church. This is the congregation. You all down here. Somebody will be Talia, somebody will be Tommy, somebody will be Jackson, somebody will be Jane. You all got to huddle together. So the application is this. Hey, Tommy, Jane, Jackson, Talia, put your name there. I, Edmund Pang, IC number, blah, 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 blood type, blood, results positive, O, of this thing. If you don't stay close together, you guys don't stay close together in worship. You guys don't stay close together in Bible studies. You guys don't want to serve in, stay close in various ministries. You guys don't attend prayer meetings. The devil will pick you off one by one. So Peter uses this example to drive across this message. But he gives an assurance, a comforting message. And the God of grace, here is one who called you into his eternal glory in Christ. After you suffer for a while, what do you mean for suffer for a while? I've suffered 3 years, you know. Myself personally, I suffered 3 years under this boss, you know. Consider a while lah. Consider a while. He himself will restore you. He will make you strong. He will make you firm. He will make you steadfast. And I've given you actually the what it means in the Greek. So to restore you is to reinforce you or to support you during your persecution. Make you strong so that Jesus' unwavering support will continue to strengthen you. So that you will be firm and steadfast. It's like a stable building. And it ends up with the high point. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. All right? Okay, let us put these verses together. I'll read chapter 5, verses 8 to 11, and I will give an exposition of this as the original hearers would have heard it. So Peter writes, Talia, Tommy, Jackson, and Jane, y'all be aware, y'all be sober, y'all be alert. Y'all got to see beyond this. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, like this arena. There are many trapdoors. One trapdoor here, pop up, open, wild animal X. Pop up, another one, wild animal Y. The one that we all fear most is pop up, lion. So what do they do? You guys should know, Tommy, Talia, Jackson, and Jay, y'all should know, y'all got to huddle together. Your enemy is looking for somebody to eat, makan, pick off. Resist him. This one here, you got no power to attack him. One. That's not the strategy here. The strategy here is not to attack him. The strategy here is to stay together. You got to stand firm. How? You got to stand firm in worship service. You all got to gather together. Be regular. You guys got to participate in prayer meetings together. You guys got to help one another in the ministries. You guys got to really have each other's back so that the prowling lion doesn't come and consume you. But this, in verse 9, part B, you know that the family of believers throughout the world, or the known world at that point in time, is undergoing the same kind of suffering. That means there's one arena here in Colosseum in Rome, there's another one in Verona, there's one in Tunisia, there's one in Morocco, there's one in Athens. They're all the same. Everyone is being gathered together, all the trapdoors will pop out. What you're suffering is not unique. But you need to gather together. You need to resist him. You need to stand firm to him. Stand firm against him. Hey, am I alone? So they ask Peter, hey, am I alone in this? You mean we all can do this alone? No, Peter says no. The God of grace will restore you. He will make you strong. He will enable you. There's a small caveat there. There's a small caveat. Your suffering will be there, but it's short, temporary only. And I'll tell you why Peter does that. Because when they were suffering, they were being thrown, executed in this way. They said, when is this going to end? My CEO always pick on me. When is this going to end? My project mate down here, he's never going to cooperate. When is this going to end? My customer is always giving me problems. When can I delete him? Peter says that, hey, this is temporary, Yonina. It's a temporary situation. And then, don't always focus on the here and now. You focus on the here and now, you cannot get through. You got to focus a little bit further. You got to look at the end objective. You know, sometimes when you stand, you see something too close. You can't see the thing. You've got to look a little bit further to appreciate the entire landscape or the entire context. So that's what Peter is saying. Step back a little bit. It is painful. We know that. It is like the Roman execution. We also know that. I am telling you, the lion that comes out and pop out, the trap doors are the problem. You all think that the trap door is the problem. The trap door is not the problem. Your CEO is not the problem. Then what is your strategy? Your strategy is got to hang in together. At prayer meetings, pray for one another. Ministries, chip in. Worship service, sing the hymns, be encouraging your own hearts. Read the Word of God in the Bible studies. Study it, encourage one another. That's the way to stay. That's the way to overcome, to endure this persecution. And you keep your mind, as you do all these things on earth, you keep your mind on the heavenly glory. And I tell you why I mentioned this heavenly glory. Because we are so caught up here, myself included. We are so caught up, you can only see the problem here. We do not look further. We do not look further. We do not see further. Hey, there is a future glory for us. So, in summary, Christians, we are to be sober and alert. Why? Because our enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion. He's looking to see who is vulnerable. Oh, Brother X is not very regular in prayer meetings. Huh? I think this one is a good candidate. Sister Z, no need three Bible verses. Good candidate also. Minister Y. Oh, he only preaches narratives. He doesn't preach Psalms, Proverbs. Another good candidate. He would look for the weakest one to devour. So what are our strategy? The strategy Peter is exhorting us is resist him, stay close together. Or else the devil will destroy you one by one. That's why you see some people after a while, I don't go to church anymore. Hey, but your parents are in church. Yeah, they're all old-fashioned, so they go low. Going to prayer meeting, leche, you know, gotta take bus. After that, got to change at this interchange. Whew, gotta wait for the MRT line. Then the preacher will talk so long. Then we'll sing five hymns. Oh, wow, what's the payoff, man? Hey, this we don't tell the pastors here, we don't tell the this thing here, this we harbor in our hearts. Lastly, we don't keep the future glory in view. We only here and now. Which stock I can buy? Which school my child should go? Which college my child should go? Which job should I take? Hey, I got two competing job offers. One offer 10,000, one offer 10,200. Let me ponder about it. Let me commit this in prayer. These kind of things we commit to prayer. Peter assures us that Jesus himself will strengthen us during this hour of trial. He will support us in our time of persecution. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of scripture. Lord, I know many of us in some point in our lives will encounter severe persecution as a result of being Christian. Father, many times we tend to go it alone. We tend to do this by ourselves. Father, forgive us, Lord. Foolish strategy. Father, forgive us that we are not huddling together during times of prayer, in service in various ministries, in studying your word in Bible studies, in giving you your rightful worship every Sunday. Forgive us, Lord, for keeping only the short term in view, not keeping the long term, the future glory that's before us. Father, forgive us, Lord. We think that our CEO is the devil. Forgive us. He's just the means. He's just the channel. He's just the trapdoor. Father, help us realize that our true enemy, help us to be awake, help us to be sober, help us to be alert that behind this trapdoor is the devil himself, Lord. Father, we commend ourselves to your loving hands. We have a difficult, some of us may have a difficult week before us. Lord, our prayer is that you will continue to strengthen us, Lord. That you will bring this message to our hearts that we can live this week for you, O God. That we may be strengthened in our hearts for you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.